Hi, everybody, and welcome to today's TOC podcast. I'm Joe Weichert, chair of O'Reilly's Tools of Change Conference. I'm joined today by Sanders Kleinfeld, and Sanders is a publishing technology engineer here at O'Reilly. We'll let him tell us a little bit about that in a moment. But he's also the author of a terrific free ebook we published called HTML5 for Publishers. And, you know, this month's theme is all about platforms, and Sanders has agreed to talk to us about the state of HTML5 as a platform. Sanders, welcome to this TOC podcast.
Thanks for having me, Joe.
So Sanders, you've got an extensive background in production tools and technologies, and every time I talk with you, I learn something new. So can you tell the audience a bit about your role here at O'Reilly?
Yeah, sure. I've been at O'Reilly for about 8 years now, and I've done quite a lot. I started out as a production editor back in 2004 and was really focused on print production and publishing just for print. And in the past 5 years or so, I've sort of transitioned over to doing a lot of our digital production stuff. So right now, I'm largely focused on maintaining the tool chains that we use to generate EPUB content for iPad and other e-readers that support EPUB, Mobi content for Kindle, and also doing a lot of research into next generation web technologies like HTML5 and the future of e-reading.
Okay, so let's talk about some of those formats there. So today publishers are faced with having to generate PDF, Mobi for the Kindle, EPUB for pretty much everything else. What are some of the biggest challenges having to support all those formats today?
Well, I think there are two big challenges. I think one challenge is how to maintain a single set of source files that you can use to create all those formats. So for example, in the old print paradigm, you would take your print files, you would, you know, generate a PDF and you would send it to the printer and you get a print book back.
Yep.
And when you needed to make errata updates or other updates to your book, you would just go back to those source files, regenerating a PDF and send it to the printer again. One of the big challenges in a world in which you're not just generating a print PDF, you're potentially generating an EPUB, a Mobi, a PDF for web, is how do you maintain a single source and generate all those formats from that single source such that you only have to make updates in one place.
Right.
An alternative is, you know, you send the book out to a vendor and you get an EPUB back, and then you get a Mobi back from, you know, maybe the same vendor or another process, and then all of a sudden you have to make updates. Do you make those updates individually to each of those formats? Do you send things out to conversion to a vendor again? Streamlining and automating those kind of workflows and minimizing the kind of duplicate effort, I think, is one big challenge. And I think an even bigger challenge is dealing with compatibility issues. Mm. Again, in a print-centric world, you would generate that PDF and send it to a printer and be reasonably confident that it would come back looking exactly as you expected.
Mm.
Nowadays, you know, the e-reader ecosystem just keeps expanding and expanding and expanding, and different e-readers have varying levels of support for EPUB readers for HTML and CSS content. The same CSS style sheet may result in disparate results in different e-readers. You're dealing with color versus e-ink a lot. Not to mention, Kindle has its own ecosystem. So you've got Kindle e-ink, Kindle Touch, Kindle apps for your iPhone, your BlackBerry, and then Kindle Fire. You have to be cognizant of the fact that people are reading on all these different devices that have all these different quirks, and trying to make your style sheets as robust as possible to account for that. Or again, the alternative is make your EPUB one way and sell it this way in the Kobo store, and make it another way and sell it in the iBook store. I mean, you don't even have that option for Kindle. It's basically one Mobi for everything. So there are definitely tools out there to make that easier, but it's still a massive challenge and entails a lot of QA effort that I don't think existed 6 or 7 years ago.
Yeah, well, and you know, a lot of people tend to think just of the complication of EPUB versus Mobi, but like you just said, there's so many sort of subtle differences and variants even within those families. So let's talk for a minute about HTML5. You brought this up earlier. What do you think of it as an alternative to these formats, and can it solve some of the problems you just talked about?
Well, I think I think it does solve a lot of problems in that, you know, we were just talking about the e-reader ecosystem, but you know, there's a separate ecosystem of web browsers, obviously, and HTML5 support has, you know, really become very, very robust in a lot of different web browsers. So on the desktop, you know, you get really good results in Firefox and Safari, and Google Chrome is you know, way up there in cutting edge technologies. And even on, you know, mobile devices like mobile Safari and you know, WebKit browsers for Android, support is pretty good. So and I think that's moving way, way faster than e-reader support for HTML5 is right now. Mm-hmm. So in that sense, it really solves that problem in that if you make an HTML5 website, it's much easier to know that you're going to get the results you're expecting in desktop web browsers and even mobile web browsers. And I think there's a wider ecosystem of, you know, JavaScript libraries and tools and frameworks, things like jQuery Mobile, that exist out there to really help you, you know, make stuff that is compatible across a lot of different browsers and different OS platforms. So I think there's a lot more help to do that right now in the HTML5 sphere that doesn't exist as much in e-readers.
But let me ask you this. So if as I understand it, HTML5 is kind of at the heart of EPUB, and EPUB obviously has been adopted by Apple and Sony, as well as BNN, for example. Why not just focus on EPUB, making it better and better, rather than jumping to HTML5?
Yeah, so that's right. I think an important distinction, HTML5 is at the core of EPUB 3. EPUB 2.01 still uses XHTML 1.1. So I think one of the challenges right now is that EPUB support is there in a diverse set of e-readers. EPUB 3 support is in a much smaller subset. So definitely iBooks for iPad supports EPUB 3 to a certain extent. It definitely supports things like Canvas and audio and video, but your results may vary with other things. So that's an interesting, you know, way to go. I think one of the challenges right now is that the adoption speed is not happening as fast as people hope, and it becomes sort of a cart before the horse thing. In that, I think publishers are really tentative to dip their toes into the water of doing EPUB 3 because it becomes a challenge to get it out there and see who's going to support it. And as a result of that, there isn't that pressure to get it done. So it just becomes sort of like almost a negative feedback loop where I feel that things are moving more slowly than I wish they were on that front.
Yeah.
Go
ahead, Sanders.
So at the same time, I think there's a lot of, you know, confusion and going on right now about like the difference between an enhanced ebook and an app and where those borders lie and how people should be doing ebooks that are more than just text and graphics. So it becomes a question of, is EPUB 3 the way forward for that? Is an HTML5 web app the way forward for that? Is a native iOS or Android app the way forward for that? So it's a really tricky situation right now, and I think it's going to take time for all those things to shake out naturally.
Yeah, and what I was going to say before is, obviously EPUB has some momentum with those vendors that we talked about before, but mm-hmm. it always seems to me like EPUB is kind of this middleman, right? So HTML5 supports all this rich functionality, and as you said, it wasn't until EPUB 3 that we started to see it supported there. And it's like, why can't we just kind of suck that middleman of EPUB 3 out, go direct to the browser and have the experience be there, and therefore be able to integrate more rich content functionality than we would if we had to wait on another layer of a spec that sits atop HTML, right?
Yeah, I agree completely with that. I feel right now that EPUB 3 puts a lot of onus on publishers to add all of this extra metadata and specifications to package in this specific format, and they're not necessarily getting the huge benefit right now in terms of being able to get that on an e-reader and getting the support they want. As an example, my book HTML5 for Publishers includes it's an EPUB 3 available from O'Reilly.com right now, and it includes some embedded Canvas examples, things like a little drawing app and a graphing calculator and things like that. So I was playing around with that EPUB 3 on the Nook yesterday, and the Nook uses Adobe's Adobe's SDK, RM SDK, for doing the e-rendering in the Nook app that exists on like the Nook tablet and the Nook Color. And I'm looking in this app, right, and I see that the Canvas examples aren't working at all.
Okay.
But I also included links in my EPUB to the same examples, the exact same HTML, CSS, JavaScript hosted on O'Reilly's web servers. So if you have an internet-enabled e-reader with a web browser, you can click and go there. And the Nook's web browser supports those same examples.
Mm-hmm.
So if my book were on the web, it would have, you know, arguably much more functionality and much more usefulness.
Right.
So why are we going through that middle ground of an e-reader that is imposing these artificial restrictions on what you can do? I think that's a challenge, and I think part of what worries me a little bit about the EPUB 3 spec is that it makes a lot of these HTML5 features optional in terms of requiring e-readers to support them. So streaming audio and streaming video are optional, and that totally makes sense, because if you're producing an e-ink e-reader, at least right now you can't do video in a feasible way. So I understand where they're coming from with the spec in terms of making that optional if you want to be able to say that your e-reader is EPUB 3 compliant. But just because something is EPUB 3 compliant doesn't even mean necessarily that you're going to be able to do the examples that you want.
Mm-hmm.
So it sort of makes me think that all these problems are solved if we just, you know, look at things from the perspective of making web apps, which HTML5 at this time supports local storage. We could do almost all the exact same things without, you know, putting the onus on publishers to get it into this specific box of EPUB 3 and make it validate the specific validator. And then on top of all that, have to worry about whether the e-reading engines are up to supporting it.
I want to come back to that HTML5 versus EPUB point again, but I just wanted to also remind folks that today's podcast is brought to you by Publishers Weekly, our event partner for Tools of Change. And I'm speaking with Sanders Kleinfeld, publishing technology engineer here at O'Reilly. Sanders, you know, I've spoken a lot with Bill McCoy, for example, from the IDPF, mm-hmm. and he had a great series of posts on the TOC blog recently about why EPUB is the future and PDF is not, which makes sense. But I think one of the key points he really drilled into is also that EPUB offers the portability, you know, kind of in a to-go format that maybe HTML5 wouldn't if you don't have a web connection. And so therein lies the rub, right? I feel like maybe in order to get publishing sort of on board with HTML5 as a solution, we've got to have a better way of allowing a platform to sort of download content and have it cached locally, so that if I'm mm-hmm. on a plane or on a train or whatever, and I don't have a connection, that I'm still going to be able to have that reading experience like I was connected. Do you think that's holding things back at all?
Potentially a little. I think more than that, publishers are looking for a delivery platform in which they can sell their content. So that's ready-made in things like the iBookstore and the Kobo store, and they accept the contents. You know, an EPUB is basically just zipped up HTML and associated assets. So you can just zip up your HTML associated assets, validate it, send it over to the iBookstore, and then you've got a built-in way to sell that content. So I think portability is one challenge. I don't completely buy the whole internet access argument, because you still need an internet connection to buy something from the iBookstore. So I don't see a whole lot of difference between that and, you know, initially getting internet access to an HTML5 web app that then caches everything locally, mm-hmm. and then you have it.
Yeah.
And then the added benefit is you can do things in that app that you couldn't do with an EPUB in terms of reconnecting to the web server and downloading fresh content and updating on the fly and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But I think a big challenge, and I think a big reason why EPUB has really held on, is, you know, having that way to monetize distributing this content so that you can sell it. If you don't do that, then you have to be something like the New York Times, where you create your own paywall and figure out a way to deliver content yourself. And I think that's something that publishers probably haven't done in the, you know, and they know how to do that with print distribution. They haven't figured that out for digital distribution. And then another big one, obviously, is DRM. So there exist DRM schemes that you can plop on your EPUB. And if you're concerned about DRM, then there's a mechanism to go with that. I'm really hopeful that in the future, more publishers will be like O'Reilly and will consider making their content DRM free, because I think it's actually holding publishers back in terms of what they can do and forcing lock-in for customers into specific platforms, which goes against their own interests.
Yep, exactly.
But I think a lot of the virtues right now that people ascribe to EPUB in terms of both the portability and being able to deliver content and monetize it, I think there will evolve ways that we can do this via HTML5 apps too. Mm-hmm.
So let's compare and contrast now sort of HTML5 versus native apps. I mean, all the developers out there will tell you, oh, you really don't want to just go HTML5 because you're not going to have access to all the devices, sensors, and capabilities. And I get that. I mean, on the one hand, I also kind of wonder how many sensors and so forth you need access to in even a rich book. But nevertheless, I also wonder, is this a short-term problem? Are we likely to see more access to the full devices capabilities through HTML5 at some point?
I think that's likely. I think there may, you know, for security reasons, there may, you know, always be some things that you need a native app to access. I don't think Apple is really eager to open up access to every single sensor via a web app. But there's definitely motion in that direction, in that, you know, Google Chrome has beta versions of doing webcam support directly via HTML5, which is super, super cool. So I could potentially see that happening. There are already things that you know, the HTML geolocation API already lets you get geolocation information without having to dig into the actual, you know, device's GPS information. You can just, when you go to a website on mobile Safari, it'll ask you, do you want to allow it to use your location? And then you can get that information.
Okay.
So I think the number of things for which you do need a native app to get access to the devices, sensors, is probably relatively minimal, especially in the publishing sphere. I don't know how important it is to be able to make your phone vibrate while you're reading an enhanced ebook.
Maybe to wake you up.
But yeah, perhaps that would
passage.
Be funny. But. I do think there will always be a place for native apps, and I think that's something that publishers should definitely consider. And there are tools like PhoneGap that will allow you to take your HTML5, CSS, and JavaScript content and wrap it in a package that then can be converted into a native app that can have access to those sensors. So I think in the future that it'll become less of a binary choice and more of a using HTML5 most of the time will get you where you need to go. And if not, there will be a way to port that into a native app. And for folks who would prefer to code in Objective-C or in Java for Android, there will be that option.
Yeah,
so.
Okay, all right. Now that makes sense. I'm glad to see, even if it's at a glacial pace, that we're heading that way. So last question for you, Sanders, and this is the tough one. I always save the hardest one for the end. What do you think the ebook landscape will look like in, say, the next 2 or 3 years? And do you feel like we're still going to be wrestling with all these various formats and the inconsistencies amongst them?
Yeah, I think I sort of see right now where I think the biggest problem right now is that the boundary, like I said before, between ebook and app has become really fuzzy. And I think what I see happening in the next few years or so is that boundary is going to become a lot more clearly delineated. And I think that a lot less is going to fall in the ebook side than does right now. I think EPUB is a great format and a great standard, and I think it's going to continue to be a great document standard for years to come for standard text and graphic narratives. And I think anything that's more enhanced is going to drift over to the app side. And I think HTML5 is really, really going to eat that up and be the way to do that. So that rather than wrestling with ways to embed all these assets and libraries and include the appropriate metadata to bundle this up in this local package to do this enhanced ebook, you're basically just going to make a website with local storage and deliver it that way. Is one way, or you're going to bundle that up with PhoneGap and make it available in app stores. Regardless, I think it's going to be an app, because I think that EPUB isn't really helping you get anywhere you need to go with that more than just doing a website would, other than the issues with delivery and DRM and monetization, which I think people will find other ways to deal with. But I think for many years to come, you know, when you're just looking to read James Patterson or Stephen King novels on whether it be a tablet or an e-ink device, and you know, it's just text, and people still want to read fiction that's just text, right, or nonfiction that's just text. There's nothing wrong with EPUB, and there's nothing wrong with EPUB 2.1 for that sort of stuff. You don't need a whole lot of fancy CSS. You just need some basic formatting of paragraphs and font support. And I think, you know, the support for reflowable, the reflowable nature of text in that format is really good too. So I think it'll become much clearer where people are going with different things, that, you know, we'll have our standard EPUBs for fiction and nonfiction on one side, and then biology textbooks that have all this enhanced stuff will be on the other side. Mm-hmm. So
okay. All right. Well, as I said at the beginning here, I learn something from you every time we talk, Sanders. I really appreciate you taking the time today, and don't be surprised when I knock on your door again, because we need to have you back and share some of your wisdom with the TOC audience. So, Sanders Kleinfeld, thanks so much for talking with us today on this TOC podcast.
Oh, thank you very much, Joe. I appreciate it.